Hey, listen, Commander Cookout Podcast, episode 373. I'm Brando. I'm here with Ryan. Today, we're back with some more Afterthought Thoughts. Now, hit our theme song! Hey, Ryan. We're back for yet another whirlwind adventure. How you doing?
We're back. What is going down?
A whole bunch is going down. We're back with more thoughts of the Afterthought variety. We're going to talk more about places that we're going to go and people that we're going to meet and things that we're going to do. But before we get to any of that, we have to thank our official business daddies, FusionGamingOnline.com, your source for all your gaming needs.
Oh, very much so. And don't forget, we've got the new promo code coming out.
Does that one happen on this show?
This show is going to air May 30th.
Okay.
Tomorrow's May bonus show, May 31st, will be tomorrow on May 31st.
Uh-huh.
June 1st. CCO Summer.
Yes.
Promo code to save 5% off on anything you buy at Fusion, even if it's on sale. It could be board games, sealed product, gaming supplies, cracked packs, singles. It could be anything. You will save 5%. You're going to buy it anyway, so get a discount.
You mean to tell me that I could buy a single, a board game, a playmat, some sleeves, and maybe one of the boxes, like those ultimate secret lair giant stupid boxes that they came in, and save 5% on all that stuff?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Is that all stuff you're going to buy anyways?
Yeah.
You should probably save 5% by using CCO Summer promo code June 1st onwards.
Yes. And tomorrow, CCO Slam.
Though if you're listening for the first time today, CCO Slam. Still active, CCO perks if you spend over $100 and you want 10% of that kicked back to you in store credit.
Which you do.
One-time use only, though, so just
then
be
you
careful.
Can buy more stuff
that
you're going to buy anyway.
That's right.
It's great. It's a good deal.
It's a good deal. Speaking of good deal for your boys, Ryan and Brando. Bottom right-hand corner if you're watching on YouTube.
Which you fucking should be.
There's a little subscribe button. You should hit it. Our editor, he's out of town this week. Editor Joe, he's like, get me the show ASAP this week. That's his voice, by the way.
That is what he sounds
like. That's what he sounds like, yeah. Mm-hmm. He's the big burly like dude like in jail from the 90s cartoons.
Yeah.
Get me or the Macho Man. Get me the show. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's out of town, but he's like, I'm bringing my laptop to do CCO.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's
so
dedication.
Hit the subscribe button, bottom right corner. Because Joe works really hard.
Where is he? Do we know where he is? Is it an ultimate frisbee thing?
Most likely.
Is it some kind of e-gaming thing? Those are things that Joe likes.
I think it's frisbee.
Yeah.
It's ultimate frisbee, but it's like e-gaming.
Mm.
Yes, that's got to exist.
I went to watch Ultimate Frisbee one time because one of my friends plays it.
Yep.
And so the one
time that's
I went
Ultimate
to watch-
Frisbee. Not disc golf. He disc golfs.
Oh, well, you know what I'm still telling the story about the time I went to watch Ultimate Frisbee. And there's a bunch of people sitting around, and they just call it Ultimate.
Yes.
And it's like, I feel like calling it Frisbee would make more sense to the uninitiated.
I think, and Editor Joe will correct us if we're wrong, I think that Frisbee is a name brand, like Hula Hoop or Kleenex or Band-Aid or Kool-Aid. And you can't call it that. It needs to be like ultimate disc. Like it's not frisbee golf, it's disc golf. Because I think that frisbee is the name brand.
I feel like frisbee might have become one of those things like yo-yo, though.
Yes. Like, that's why I named Kleenex and Band-Aid and Google, because all of those things are now common vernacular.
Yeah.
Though they are owned by...
But,
a corporation.
But you can't copyright yo. Like, we can't be sued for calling a yo-yo, because a yo-yo is a yo-yo and it's nothing else.
We could
It's not spinning string discs anymore. It's not spindle discs. It's a fucking yo-yo.
We could be sued by yo-yo name brand or the parent company who owns it, but there are certain sort of soft spots in doing that. If we were marketing yo-yo or saying that we're selling a yo-yo even though we're calling it something else.
A CCO yo. Now that's what I want now. That's what I want. CCO fall line. CCO yo.
Well, here's the thing. Okay, you mentioned
it's gonna be made of fucking lead.
No, it's gonna be made of fists.
Well, yeah, it's shaped fists. Fist made of lead.
Or it's gonna be shaped like a tube sock filled with rolls of quarters. And I'm gonna walk the dog right onto Max Crandell. You mentioned it. We got to keep going into podcasting business because show's going to run long. Then Editor Joe's going to be like this. CCO Spring, no, Summerline.
Summerline.
Coming out June 16th in Edmonton at the Command Fest.
While we're there.
Yep.
And you will also be there, which is great.
Yep.
You being the listener, not you being Ryan.
And a couple things. I got a couple things here.
Okay.
If you're going to Command Fest Edmonton, which you are,
you're
going to use CCO code. It's just CCO when you buy your Commander package because you're going to get a discount and a free gift from us.
Yeah, directly from us. It's not like it comes in the thing or it's in the loot bag. You come and you find us and we'll hand it to you.
If you're ordering the CCO Summerline from the website when it launches on June 19th and you're a patron, check your Patreon inbox because you have a discount code there too.
Yeah.
It's a 10% discount there for patrons.
Ooh.
Because thank you.
Yeah. If you would like to be one of them, you can check out patreon.com/CCO podcast. Really appreciate it. Gets you access to the Discord, which is the single 7 out of 10-est Magic community on the internet.
Yes. And if you're wondering, 8, 9, and 10 out of 10 don't exist.
Correct.
Just like in Commander decks.
That's right.
Speaking of the patron and speaking of getting stuff.
Okay.
We've got an increased patron we have to thank, and we have last week's booster pack game winner.
Oh.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start with the winner, because winners are my favorite thing.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Guest desparked planeswalkers last week. That's what there was 10 of in the legendary creature slot in Aftermath.
Yep, that's the truth.
That's AndyK.9821.
That sounds legit. That's probably a real name, hey?
Yes. Not one of those Twitter bots that just has a pretty girl that follows me and sends me messages like, hey, come watch my cam show.
Yeah. You get those too?
Yeah.
Man, every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah. Here's your login. We made you a free account. Hey, thanks. Better click on it.
Yeah, that's totally real. That's
totally legit.
Steal my identity at all.
Yeah.
Of course, there's going to be that one time when it actually is a really hot girl that's like trying to like reach out so that she can do hot girl things with you. And you're like, fucking bot.
Yeah, I click it every time just to make sure.
I always input my credit card information as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So, Andy, get at us, commandercookout@gmail.com. Tell us your address, including your postal or zip code.
Very important.
And then what you want to win, CCO token pack, sticker pack, or regular old booster pack.
Do you have any epilogue boosters?
Epilogue boosters? That would be after the aftermath?
No, that's what they're called, epilogue boosters. They're not called like draft booster.
Oh, that's collector. Real?
Yeah, that's a real word. It says it right on the pack. Epilogue booster. Right?
I got some special thanks at the end of the book boosters, and I've got some appendices boosters, and I've got some...
Any glossary boosters?
Well, I've got some notes on the sequel that never got finished boosters. I have some of those.
And you can have any one of your choice if you want.
Yeah, for sure.
When you win the booster game from the aforementioned pre-show.
Yes.
Which you all played and enjoyed, and we appreciate it.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Big thanks to... And I don't remember the nickname. Maybe he doesn't have one, but this is J.J. White. Oh, no, it's J.J. Watt's brother.
Yeah.
J.J. White. And I wanted to do a shout-out for him. He's got, like, a Whatnot thing, and I have no idea what Whatnot is. You, like, do live auctions or something? I have no idea, but he's Jay Angry there.
Oh, wow. So, why is he? Why?
I don't know. He gives away Magic cards. That's all I know.
He gives them away, or you have to buy them from him?
Well, he messaged us, and he's like... I'm doing a Whatnot thing, and there's going to be some giveaways. So Jay Angry. Also, that's J.J. White, J.J. Watt, now retired.
Yeah.
His
brother.
His brother, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I got. What do we do here? We did Command Fest Edmonton.
Yeah. Everybody's going to be there. We're really looking forward to seeing all of you there, even you.
It's going
to
be the Lord of the Rings Tales of Middle-earth pre-release, so we're going to do some of that.
Oh man, you ever want to see just somebody be fucking miserable? Watch me make a sealed deck and then watch Ryan have to play with me for the rest of the afternoon. We're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Damn it.
Oh. Oh. Tune in. Extra bonus content June 5th for the Lord of the Rings Tales from Middle-earth Commander Cookout preview cards Frick, I almost forgot.
Oh, yeah.
It's even in the notes. Man.
Yeah, we got them. Three of them. Are we allowed to say that? Because I already said it.
I think that we are allowed to say that we have a non-zero amount.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they're neat.
They are. Yeah, they all represent, I guess, like moments in the story.
Sure.
That both book readers and movie watchers are going to know.
I have decided that starting right now, only the movies existed. I've read the books. I have. I remember them. But unless it was in the movie, nope.
Well, all three of our cards were in the movie.
Were they?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
they were.
In the extended edition, for sure.
Of course, in the extended edition.
Yeah.
I am re-evaluating my initial thought. Only the theatrical releases of the movies exist. Extended edition? Bah.
Addiction.
But
they are an addiction.
Get out of here.
Do you want to borrow mine?
Actually, now that I think about it,
probably should.
Because I have to watch the movies in preparation, and I only have the extended ones.
Hey, that's fine.
Damn it. Well, whatever. I'm going to watch them, and I'll have them all fresh in my mind.
There
so
we
that
go.
I can...
A fresh ring to think about.
Yes.
Don't Google that?
No, do not.
Don't
do
Google
not.
That. Couple things. The Lord of the Rings live stream, super fun. Talked
yep.
about, not our previews, but mentioned it there too. You can tune yep. into those on Friday and Wednesday. I'm launching them on the podcast channel.
Mm-hmm.
So people who have more of a life than me, who don't talk about Lord of the Rings on Friday night by themselves,
yeah,
can listen to it on Wednesday.
Yep.
And I guess we're gonna be doing some top fives. I asked the patrons about top fives for that. You got any Lord of the Rings specific top five and fives?
Probably do.
Oh, you want to tell me what they are?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't have them yet, but I will.
Well, patrons helped me out with that. They said, "Hey, don't do that." Yeah, that won't work. They're like, not very many people know as much about Lord of the Rings as you, Ryan. It's going to be boring.
Now we'll get there. We're gonna get there. Maybe it'll be the top five deep cuts on cards that Ryan doesn't know about.
Ooh. There's not five.
I'll bet.
Not even one.
I'll bet you I can find five. Even if I have to invent them for the top five list, I'll bet I can do it.
Lord of the Rings magic trivia. Is this a real moment captured on a magic card? And
ooh.
I'll say yes or no.
Ooh, that could be fun.
And you could just make up like giant shark flying through the air bites off Nazgul head.
Yeah, that would have been really cool. That would have been better than what actually happened to them.
No spoilers. What if somebody didn't read it or see it?
They did.
Oh.
And if they haven't, they're not gonna.
What if Lord of the Rings, the card set, is the first time anybody ever experienced it? What do you think that's gonna be like? That sounds like Lord of the Rings review show. We've got afterthoughts about aftermath and epilogues.
Afterthoughts of afterthought, yes. Aftermaths of afterthought. That's what we got going on today.
So, small set, right?
Very small set.
Like
50 cards.
15 cards, I was gonna say. You can buy one booster and you get all the cards.
Well, I mean, I bought one box and got all but two.
It's pretty good.
I have to keep going back to that. And I got six copies of one of them and seven copies of another one.
But the
it's crazy.
Only one that you wanted, and that's the most expensive you didn't get?
Correct.
I saw a meme today in the Discord where it's Arnold Schwarzenegger from Terminator 3. You know, when he's got the Gatling gun and he's carrying the coffin?
Yeah, that was
it's
cool.
Over him was Nisa, and the coffin was the entire aftermath set.
Funny but inaccurate. Just
yeah.
like a Gatling gun.
Funny but inaccurate.
Yeah.
So, okay, tell me about your initial thoughts before we kick it over to cards and talk about our favorite cards. Tell me about your initial thoughts, opinions, hopes, dreams, everything about Aftermath.
When I first heard about it, I think that my initial thought was much like other people have said. It was like, oh, man, this sucks. You're going to pay the same amount for fewer cards, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then once I actually saw some of the cards and gave it a little bit more thought, I actually think I enjoy these. And while I do think maybe having them costed the same as a regular booster pack might not be where you want to be,
mm-hmm.
I do think that the product is kind of a neat idea for a couple of reasons. One being there's no physical chaff that you're holding in your hand.
Which is the problem that people have is I'm getting less cards. Why do I have to pay the same amount of money? Though I would say if you're just going to donate, recycle, burn, fold into card houses, use for coasters, for leveling tables, if you're just going to not use the chaff.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to sort it. Like, one out of every 1,000 people that listens to this episode is actually going to sort their commons and have them cataloged in play sets, in those loose penny sleeves. Like, you're not doing that. And keeping chaff in your closet from 2001 that you haven't done anything with and that still isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
Does that count?
No.
It doesn't count?
No, it doesn't. Like, that's the and the one person that's doing that, good on you. I'm proud of you for keeping this garbage sorted. But for everybody else, nobody cares. Like, nobody cares about commons. Nobody does. Well, you play Pauper. You go to the store and you get them all for 10 cents. Right?
Or you get the one that's good in Pauper.
Yeah, like, nobody's pumped for commons. And this set, you're paying the regular set price, and you're getting upwards of 3 rares in a pack, which is not nothing.
In these epilogue packs, you get 3 rares?
Yeah. You can get between 1 and 3 rares per pack, 2 uncommons, and if you get the collector boosters, you get 2 uncommons and 4 rares.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Right, that's not bad. That's not any... You're not hurting, right? And you're not opening a bunch of crap that you're going to have to sort, or you keep in a pile in a box behind your couch that you try and give your friends when they come over, and they don't even look at it.
Okay, so a couple things.
And I know that because that's the box that's behind my couch in my house right now, full of cards that nobody wants.
People are going to say things like, you can donate them, game clubs, game stores, after school programs, and yes, we know that.
Truth.
And yes, we have donated cards before, trust me.
Yes, and yes, we do that.
That's one thing.
We have all been beneficiaries of, like, everybody in the nation, and everybody that we play with has been a beneficiary of the giant box of chaff that somebody just gives you, and then you bring it to your friend group, and everybody picks through it and takes what they want.
Yep.
And then you refill it with all the crap that you have that you don't want, and you just give it to the next new kid. We've all done that.
Yes.
And we all appreciate that.
Uncle Brandon's dirty sock drawer. That's where some of that stuff goes.
That's where lots of that ends up.
Okay, so you like the pack, the five, six card epilogue collector booster and regular booster, same price point, less commons, but this is a small set. Only 55 new cards or whatever. What are your thoughts on if this experiment of WotC's, this aftermath experiment, let's call it, worked and there was enough success in selling the product and good reviews of it? What if they made collector boosters in the same way that they made these epilogue boosters, but the draft and set boosters were regular boosters that still had commons and uncommons? You need the commons and uncommons for draft.
Yes.
And those would go in the draft booster, obviously, right?
Yes.
And then you have the set boosters that have higher rates of foil drops if you want the foil commons. Though, having no foil commons and collector boosters would elevate the price of foil commons, which is interesting.
Yes.
Interesting. You could have foil commons that are worth more than foil rares because the collector packs would just have rares, mythics, and uncommons.
Yes.
Do you think that would change kind of the... It would make a foil common more rare than a foil rare, which doesn't really... That doesn't... Like, the math doesn't check out there, right?
Well, right now, I would posit that the foil uncommon in the average, not here, but in other sets, is the... Where you're going to find the most value. If you have a playable, uncommon. If what's the blue card that everybody likes from this set? Filter Out or whatever?
Filter Out, yeah.
If Filter Out was in a regular set, the foils of it would be not big money, but you're looking at a $5 uncommon for sure.
Because the
foil uncommons are
the hardest to find because you get
10 rares in a boot in a collector pack, you get 11 fucking commons, and you get 2 uncommons.
Yeah, collector boosters have 28 cards in them now, I guess.
But you know what I mean.
Yes.
The uncommons are kind of where the secret value is going to be, because the rares are low, like they should be, I would argue, for standard product, and the commons are also low. And I don't think that you should cut the commons from a regular collector booster, but if you're going to do supplementary stuff like this in the future, I don't hate it. I don't hate the idea.
I got an idea. What if there was a reduced price, like, let's say $1 less epilogue style pack instead of set jumpstart? Because they're doing away with that. Set jumpstart is kind of a not very good product. Nobody
likes
it, really.
Yeah.
The Yeah. I think that would be a good place for it if they want to sell another type of pack that is reduced and more kids would buy it because it's at a lower price point and more people would just buy it on a whim at the Walmart checkout or at the LGS checkout. Like, not where all the booster packs are, but just have them sitting on the counter as a throw-in, like they would do with like a pack of gum at the grocery store.
And do it and
impulse buy, right?
And you could do it just like this, where... Like this, with the exception of Nisa off to the side, like this set doesn't have a bunch of like staple, I need them. But you know what else this set doesn't have? And I've gone through it a bunch of times. Garbage.
The set is good.
There's not very many cards that are actual garbage. And when we were reviewing the legendary creatures last week, we talked about lots of them. We went through some of them, and some of them, like, I didn't like, some of them you didn't like.
But all of them were something.
They're all playable, they all have something to them, and I think that most of, if not all of the cards in this set, 50 out of 50 cards will show up in a deck somewhere, because you don't have to have draft chaff in it. We don't need the 10-10 vanilla mythic rare.
No, you don't need the 1-2 for 4 that when it attacks, it gets +3/+0.
Yeah.
You don't need that. That's arguably worse than vanilla flavor text only dot card.
Yeah.
Because vanilla flavor text only dot card, especially in green or white, actually sees play in decks. Right? There are meme decks that have that, but gets +3/+0 when it attacks is like draft chaff at its maximum, right?
You don't have for example, a sorcery speed terminate in a rare slot.
Ooh.
Right?
Shots fired.
Filter out would definitely be a rare if it was in a draft set. Instead, it's an uncommon, and now they're going to be a dollar forever, and that's great.
I like that. I like that take that filter out would be a rare in a normal set because it even in a draft deck, you would probably build and or play with that card in mind, right? Over the course of like a two-headed giant game or tournament or over the course of 3 or 4 rounds of draft at a pre-release, you would foreseeably see that card a couple times and want to play around it.
Yeah.
And it would be a blowout probably every time at uncommon. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
And it would go in nearly every deck.
That's
got blue in it, right?
Yeah,
so it makes it a little bit tougher in draft, but in sealed and two-headed giant, that doesn't barely matter.
Yeah, that doesn't mean shit. So, but the point is, and that's the part I think I like the most about the set, is yes, it's got a couple of like bangers that people are chasing and they're worth all this money and blah, 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 blah. But if you buy a pack and you don't get the chase rare, you do have a bunch of playable cards.
Yes.
You're going to open a pack of 5 cards and have 5 playable cards, which is not something that you're going to get when you buy a booster anywhere else.
And now all we need is to advocate for that 5-card pack or 6-card pack to be a dollar or so less. So if we didn't get the chase card we wanted this one, we just buy another one.
Yeah.
And the absolute dollar amount that WotC, the LGS, the distributors get from Ryan and Brando is $1 less per pack, but now they've sold 2 packs or 3 packs. Mm-hmm. So the absolute dollar amount exchanging hands is greater.
Yes.
That's what they want.
And the other thing, and then we'll go to cards, I promise.
Oh, yeah.
The one other thing that I really like about the box aesthetically is how small the box is. If you haven't seen one, when you go to your LGS next time, just ask them if they can show you the box that they come in, because it's so funny.
Just a little tiny
box. It's the same box, but it's small.
It looks like a manila folder.
Yeah, it looks like an envelope. They're great. I love them, and I think that's cool. And here's the last thing I'm going to say, then we'll go to cards. If you're that concerned about not getting commons in your pack, if this product is terrible because you get fewer cards for the same money because you want those commons, I highly recommend you go down to your local dollar store, Dollarama or whatever, and drop $5 on 100 commons that have been repacked, because you're going to get lots of value and lots of play out of that, right?
When you play open flippy, you do.
Yeah, you do. And if that's your jam, fill your boots, go do that, and the rest of us can have fun with this product that's kind of neat.
Is that an expression? Fill your boots?
Fill your boots. I've heard it at least once around here, and I'm not sure what it means, because I think filling your boots is when you step in a puddle and it gets water in it.
I'm changing it.
And I don't know why.
Fill your butt.
Yeah.
Fill your butt with commons.
All you want.
Don't Google that.
or Google it. We don't do whatever we want. Let's talk about some cards, Ryan.
Yeah, let's flip to our favorite cards.
Yes. So we talked about most of the cards last week because legendary creatures are kind of
the set's
bread and butter. But there are, like we said a minute ago, some very good playable things. Ryan, we'll start with the white cards. All six of them.
Yeah, that's it. All five of them, because one of them is Tazri, Stalwart Survivor.
Oh, yeah.
We dunked on it last week, then we just got so many lists.
Oh, my God.
So fun.
Hey, why does he have a light in his collar? I don't understand.
I want to get right into it. So there's a card on the screen for Editor Joe.
Okay.
I talked about Coppercoat Vanguard in this week's top five in five. So I'm going to try not to talk about the ones that I talked about in top five in five. Watch it on Friday. Tyler, in addition to Editor Joe, works very hard.
Yes, he does.
So this is each other human you control gets +1/+0 and has ward one. This is a good card.
It's uncommon too.
And it's a 2/2 for 2 in addition to buffing your boys.
It's a bear that makes all your other bears bigger.
Yes, when your bears are soldiers.
Yes.
So you make your soldiers more swall.
Yeah.
there we go. What's your? Do you want to talk about defecation?
Of course I do. Have you met me? Do I want to talk about defecation?
Give it a read.
Defecation is an enchantment for white one. When it comes into play, draw a card. Oh, no, never mind. That's a different card. When it comes into play, you pick a planeswalker type. Planeswalkers you control of the chosen type have hexproof, and as long as you control the creature, if damage deals... Jesus.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
As long as you control the creature, if damage dealt to a planeswalker you control of the chosen type would remove all the loyalty counters from it, all but one of the loyalty counters are removed.
That's worship, except for planeswalkers.
Yeah.
Worship being a card from, like, Urzablock of old.
Yeah.
Man, every one of these cards is good. Harnessed Sunborn, Snubhorn is good. Metropolis Reformer, good. Spark Rupture, good.
I really like Spark Rupture, both because it's cool and, like, wrecks planeswalkers, but if you see the full art of it, is beautiful.
Yeah, that's a cool one. It's sucking, getting their spark sucked out.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I wish that was happening to me right now.
Spark Rupture is an enchantment for white, too. When it comes into play, you draw a card.
That's pretty good.
There we go. So that's basically what... That's not all that it does. Each planeswalker with one or more loyalty counters on it loses all abilities and is a creature with power and toughness each equal to the number of loyalty counters on it. That's a cool card.
You know what? You know what I really like about that card is it's good against super friends.
Mm-hmm.
But... if you have no blockers and I'm playing Super Friends and I slam a Spark Rupture and I just swing in, just bash you over the head. Eat spark! I'm swinging my spark around like a sock full of money.
Yeah, man. Owned. Very good. Yeah. I like that very lot.
Yeah,
so that's every white card.
Spark Rupture feels like one of the cards that F.U. Aiden would use. Like he uses the cards that turn your clue and your blood tokens and stuff into creatures to kill you.
Yeah.
I want to turn my planeswalkers into creatures to kill you.
Like that.
That's a cool one.
I kind of wish it wasn't white.
That's fine.
I understand why it's white. I get that. But, like, I don't play a lot of planeswalker-heavy decks that are white. Right? So I don't get to play it. But...
yeah.
I like it. It's a good card.
That's every white card you said.
That's every white card.
Let's go to blue. There's even less.
Yeah, there's four no legendary blue creatures.
Oh yeah.
And all four of these cards are good, including the set's one and only high money reprint in Training Grounds.
That you opened seven of.
I opened seven of them, yes. It's very good. Training Grounds is an enchantment for blue activated abilities of creatures you control. Cost 2 colorless less. Can't reduce it to less than
one mana.
But still, really cool. And they were $100 for a foil of those at one point.
Wow, really?
Yeah. So now they're 10. And that's awesome.
That's pretty good.
You can't argue with that or beat it with a stick.
Yeah.
What's your favorite blue card, Ryan?
Well, filter out.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. Okay, instant, blue, one, return all non-creature, non-land permies to their owner's hand. Wow.
Bang.
Yeah. Right. That's like a stifle for dockside extortionist.
Yeah. Nice, but dockside.
Oh,
jerk.
Man, this card does everything. It stifles dockside ETB abilities. It kind of acts as Hercule's Recall and what's the other one? Rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
Sure.
Bounces all your artifacts that cost 0 mana so you play them again.
Yep.
And get all the mana out of them again.
Yep.
Which would also increase your storm count like crazy.
Yep.
It acts like What's the other one? It's like six mana where you bounce any number of artifacts and draw a card for each expressive iteration.
Yes.
Is that the one?
I believe so, yes.
And then you play them all again. Like, this card is freaking good. Or it's a mini Cyclonic Rift. Like, you're Alpha Striking me, and I'm just like, nope.
Why do they all have Double Strike and Trample and all these things? Well, I have this enchantment and this enchantment and this equipment and this and this and this. Well,
now you have nothing.
Now you don't. Now your dudes are just there. How big are they?
Now, it gets my stuff, too, but if I'm using it in the way that would encourage you to Alpha Strike on me, I'm losing less than you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just works like your standard Wrath of God.
Yeah.
And sure, you can rebuild from it, but it gets non-land permanent, so it's going to get all your artifacts, it's going to get all your enchantments, it's going to get all your creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This card's freaking good.
It's a good-ass card.
This is going to be like a Commander and CEDH staple. This one's good.
I believe it will be as well. Here's a card I really, really like. It's Vesuvian Drifter. And I always talk about the clone.
Oh, wait until you hear the combo on tomorrow's community feature.
And this set has a clone in it that's good. And it's a clone for 3, which is why it's good. It's a 2/4 by itself with flying. You can look at the top card of your library at any time.
Which is good.
And that could be the whole card, but it's not. At the beginning of each combat, mind you, you may reveal the top card of your library. If you reveal a creature card, it becomes a copy of it until end of turn, except it has flying.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. What if you reveal a clone? It's a 0/0.
Then that's why you look first.
I'm going to Vesuvian Drifter blind. No look.
Oh, that's dangerous. Yeah. I like that, though. I'm going to do that now, too.
Oh, man. Reveal clone. Oh. Because it becomes a 0/0 with flying.
To be fair, I don't play it in my Clonamar deck because lots of creatures in that deck are 0/0s. So I do not play it in there. But I do have it in a couple of decks that I think just are fun. And I like that card lots.
Oh, man. Let's move to Black Sniff My Crack.
Do it.
I talked about Markov Baron in my top 5 as well. Because it gives all vampires +1/+1. This is Vampire Lord,
yep.
Which is good. It got Convoke, so mm-hmm. You can attack or tap your other vampires.
Yep.
And it's got Madness, which you might care about like in a self-discard or everybody discard dot deck.
Sure.
Because then you can still cast it when you discard it.
I dig that.
And Madness is weird, man. And it goes in Angie Falconwrath deck or whatever.
There we go, yeah.
Yeah, because it got Madness.
And see, what's cool about this set is you can print shit like that. Here's a piece for this one commander that we printed a long time ago. Here's a cool card for that.
Or Vampire Tribal.
It doesn't have to have synergy with the rest of the set. It doesn't even have to make sense. And there it is, and it's good.
And you can put, like they did with a bunch of the March of the Machine stuff, they mixed in all the different showcase treatments. They're mixing in evergreen-esque
sure.
stuff, like Madness, like Lords for popular tribes, like Convoke. It's all in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool. Cool. What's your black card?
Urborg Scavengers.
Because of the funny face.
Oh, yeah, there's funny little guys on there. They're little ghosts, and they're running all around. It's a 2/2 for 3. Whenever it comes into play or attacks, exile target card from a graveyard and put a +1/+1 counter on it. It's like a little scavenging ooze, but it's black.
So it's a 3/3 for 3, let's call it.
Sure.
As long as there's a guy dead, which there might not be on turn 3.
Probably will be, though.
Okay.
Probably will be. Because you're playing black and you're going to kill something.
Sure.
And then it also gets the abilities of the things that it exiles. So if you get a creature with trample or flying or whatever, it has trample or flying or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's a good card, and it has a really funny picture on it, which is great. It's even funnier in the showcase, which is great.
And I'm thinking that Spirit is slowly becoming a relevant creature type.
Yes.
And I think with Tales of Middle-earth coming up next month, it's going to become a more relevant creature type.
You think?
I think so.
Yeah, you're probably
We're going
right.
to get the Army of Ghosts, right?
Oh, yeah, Army of Ghosts. I wonder what it's going to do. Because they already printed an Army of Ghosts card in Mom.
We'll probably see a few different iterations of that. We're going to get a King of the Dead, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, we got a hint that we're getting a Spirit Noble. Probably going to get, couple.
What's his name?
He doesn't have a name. He's the King of the Dead.
He doesn't have a name? What? So, funny story, everybody. When me and Ryan originally recorded this, we had a little technical problem, and I couldn't un-F it, so I have brought in my friend Sam. Say hi, Sam.
Hi.
To record the next little bit with me. We went over a couple of the monochromatic cards, some of the gold cards, so instead of me and Ryan going back and forth about how awesome these things are, I'm going to tell Sam how awesome they are, and if I can convince her, who has no real idea what's going on, this is going to be awesome. So we left off, I believe, with the funny little face guys here on Urborg Scavengers. I don't know if Sam can see it. It's far from her face.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fun, right? Little ghost guys, mm-hmm. the little fish with funny little teeth, holding a severed head.
Okay.
Magic cards are fun. We're going to move on to some red stuff. Now, when me and Ryan originally recorded, the only red card we talked about of the four, two of them are legendary creatures. One of them is Reckless Handling. It is a tutor. Sorcery for red, one. Search library for an artifact card. Reveal it. Put it into your hand. Shuffle your library. And then discard a card at random. Does any of that make any sense, Sam?
Absolutely none.
Not even searching your library? Library is your deck of cards.
It does now.
And then you find a card out of it.
Uh-huh.
Put it into your hand.
Okay.
Sounds pretty good, right? Virtually any card you want.
Okay.
But then you randomize the cards that are in your hand, right?
Okay.
And you throw one of them into your discard pile.
Okay.
So now that you know what the card does, would you do that? Does that sound good to you? If you could search through any deck of cards to find any card you wanted,
yes,
at the risk of...
Yes, it sounds very good.
But then you have to discard one at random. Do you do it?
Oh, that's tough.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're a gambler, I guess.
There it is. And gamble. See? She knows. She's good at this. So this is basically gamble for artifact at 100% more mana, which... I mean, it lets you play Gamble twice. You can play it in a Duretti deck or any kind of artifact-themed thing, especially if you can get them back from your bin and play them again. Sam has a surprised look on her face because she knows that that's probably pretty good. Moving on to green, there's a couple of note in here. Leyline Immersion is very good. It's an enchant legendary creature for green 3. Enchanted creature has ward 2. That makes them harder to kill.
Oh, that's handy.
Right. And you can tap them to add 5 mana in any combination of colors that you can only use to play other cards. Cast spells, if you will. That sounds pretty good, right?
Sure.
Like 5 mana to play spells? Like that's lots. That's more than you've invested in playing the card. It gives you an immediate return of 20% more or whatever.
All right.
That sounds not too bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So, that'll be fun. I think Ryan initially thought that he could play it in his Estrid the Bald deck, but then he realized that it has to be on a legendary creature, which actually is kind of a drawback to the card in that deck because you don't really have that many. In an average deck, it'd probably be fine. I think I'll probably try and play it somewhere. Try and play it somewhere? That's what I said, yes.
Okay.
Yes, Sam agrees.
Good plan.
Also in green, check this guy out. Sam, you see this guy?
Mm-hmm.
Tranquil Frillback.
Doesn't look very tranquil.
He's kind of got like a little smiley face and he's got the big nostrils. Like he's, I don't know, he's...
Okay.
He's having a nap in the sun.
I guess, yeah, okay.
He's probably okay. He's a 3-3 for 3.
I feel like he's a little bit dangerous looking.
Well, he's a dinosaur.
Yeah, that's right? True.
Dinosaurs are typically dangerous. Going to find its way into Ryan's Calamax deck. He's a 3-3 for 3. And when he comes into play, you can pay green up to 3 times to activate one or more of the following 3 abilities. Sam is surprised again. Destroy target artifact or enchantment. Exile target player's graveyard, or gain 4 life. Now, all of those things are actually good, especially if you could cheat them into play at flash speed. You could like kill somebody's graveyard. You could destroy their artifact creature that's attacking you. You could negate another attacker that's 4 or less and block with it.
Sounds pretty impressive.
It's a Swiss Army knife dinosaur, and that's awesome. Because dinosaurs,
it looks like a Swiss Army knife, too, a little bit.
It kind of does. And as we all know, dinosaurs with knives are much more dangerous than the average dinosaur.
Unless it's a T-Rex.
Yeah, that's true, because their arms are so short, hey?
Yes.
Yes. Well, maybe they're good at throw the knife.
Oh, yeah. No, because their arms are too short to throw.
You think?
Yeah.
What? Just in relative...
Like, just would just go...
Relatively to their body, though, like their arms are, how big is a T-Rex's arm compared to like my arm? And I can throw stuff.
Yeah, but no.
No?
No. It's because it's small on him. He just won't be able to get enough leverage. His body gets in the way. That's the point.
Okay. All right. I learned a thing today. onto the multicolored Earth. If dinosaurs could throw stuff, we probably wouldn't exist.
That's probably very accurate.
Just throw rocks at us and we'd be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of being dead, if your stuff dies and you want it back, oh, that's a segue. Cosmic Rebirth. Fantastic card. Instant for white, green, one. Choose target permanent card in your graveyard. If it has mana value 3 or less, you can put it into play. If it has more than 3, it goes back into your hand and you gain 3 life. Sam, is that a good card?
It's very pretty.
There. That, hey, that counts. If it's appealing in one way, it's appealing in other ways. Because it's also a very good card. You can use it as a combat trick to get a blocker out of your graveyard to do, like, I don't know, tricksy things or get another enter the battlefield ability. Or you can use it to get your key piece back into your hand so that you can play it again. And you gain some life, which is pretty cool.
Sounds pretty cool.
Again, it's kind of like that Thrillback Dinosaur that we talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, you play a dude and kill a thing and gain some life and block another thing. This could do the same thing, which is cool. Or it gets you your frill back. It's either way, it's very good. But now, Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to talk about Nahiri's Resolve. This card blew my mind earlier when I realized what it can do. Are you prepared, Sam, to hear what this card can do? Slash members of CCO Nation who overlooked this enchantment.
What can it do?
It! I'm getting all excited all over again. White, red, 3, enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and have haste. That means that they punch harder in the face and they can go fast.
Those are important things.
Right? Punching fast in the face, very important.
We wouldn't want to punch slow in the face, because then they'd just stop you.
Truth. See, she gets it. She gets it, everyone. At the beginning of your end step, exile any number of non-token artifacts and or creatures you control. Return those cards to the battlefield under their owner's control at the beginning of your next upkeep. So what that does is at the end of your turn, you can take some of your stuff and remove it from the game until your next turn, and then it comes back. The stuff does.
Okay.
And you're thinking to yourself, why would I want to do that, Brando? What am I going to do? Get some ETB abilities? What am I going to do? Get some value in Boros? Nah, suckers! What you're going to do is play a ball lightning, smash somebody in the face with it, then you're going to exile it at the end of your turn, and then next turn you're going to get it back and do it again! Oh! I am rock hard right now thinking about that. Oh, I need to... Oh, man. I've been waiting my entire life playing Magic for a card that does this. All I've ever wanted to do is ball lightning somebody and then ball lightning them again and again and again and again and again. It's all I've ever wanted.
That sounds really fun.
See? See? Don't even Google it. Sam probably will. And you can, too, because the point is this is going to be awesome. Awesome. It's going to be very good. Is the moral of the story. Nahiri's Resolve, very good card. You should pick them up yourself and ball lightning out of control just like me. Because I am actually going to do that, and it's going to be awesome. Last of the multicolored cards we wanted to touch on is what I think lots of people have been talking about and theorizing about. It's called Rebuild the City. That doesn't sound as exciting as Resolve, and it doesn't have nearly as many explosions on it. But what it does is it costs Jundin 3, you pick a land, and you create 3 tokens that are copies of said land, except they are 3/3 creatures with vigilance and menace. Does any of that mean anything to you, Sam?
I'm a bit of a menace.
See, now, without Ryan here, I actually can't tell you what menace does, because I always forget, and that isn't a gimmick. It's real life. But what this does is it's going to take a strip mine or a wasteland. You're going to get 3 of them as dudes. You're going to punch somebody with their own stuff and then sack them all to kill their land. Land is very important. It's a resource. Mm-hmm. I haven't got to the part where I teach Sam how to play Magic yet. But she did say that she would let me teach her sometime and that she would learn the rules at the very least, which is pretty cool. So we haven't quite got there yet because emergency recording. But the point is, Rebuild the City is very, very good. Alas, it does not work with Dark Depths. So you get like three dark depths going on and then get three merit lages and have all kinds of ETBs and all that kind of fun stuff, you can only get one, which kind of sucks. But you can use it on Cabal Coffers to get several of those. Or, like we said, Wasteland. Or you can steal your opponent's Gaia's Cradle, have one of your own that's also a dude. And I guess that would make it tap for more. So your Gaia's Cradle would be better than theirs, which is awesome. And there's all kinds of utility there. It's the Jund Land Player's Dream or Aiden. F.U. Aiden from Saskatoon. Here's one of our buddies. Mm. You'll meet him eventually. He's very tall, and his hair is way darker than you picture.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I never thought of that. So those are the gold cards we wanted to talk about, and some green ones, and some red ones. We're going to throw back to me and Ryan, and we're going into talking about the single land in the set. Thanks for being here, Sam.
Thank you.
We have Dranith Ruins.
Oh, I actually like this card.
This is a cool card. Is it an Anamar card?
An Anna card?
An Anna card,
maybe,
if you will?
Maybe your Anamar.
Yeah, my Anamar isn't as tuned as yours, but I would maybe play this
did
there.
Did I say it snobby enough, though?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a land, Dranith Ruins, taps for colorless, which is the tough part about Anamar because yours is mostly blue, though, hey?
Yep.
Yours is mostly blue. Okay, so you're playing the other colors primarily just to cast Anamar.
Yeah. Yeah.
So taps are colorless. You can go two, tap, put two plus one counters on target non-human creature that entered the battlefield this turn.
Yeah. So if you have a bunch of extra mana, you just dump two into Anamar, and he kind of gives you that two back by making your next creature cost two less.
Yeah, so this actually is really good in Anamar.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Or if you, like, late game, you draw like a two drop and it's turn eight and you're like, oh, that's not very good. I guess I'll make my two drop actually cost five and it's like a 4/4 now, which makes it more relevant, especially if like you can block with it or if it's got flying. It's not terrible.
It's not irrelevant and it taps for mana and comes into play untapped. So it's not like your deck sucks because you're playing a Dranith Ruins.
Yeah. And if you're playing a plus one style deck and you have all of the plus one adders or doublers, Doubling Season, Hardened Scales, Peer, Imaginative Rascal or whatever, like anything that puts extra counters on, you're getting counters from your land. That makes this worth really, like, really worth a card.
And I can use it in Hirobi to kill people. Because it doesn't say your creature.
Counters on target non-human creature that entered the battlefield this turn.
Yeah.
Hey, nice creature. It'd be a shame if it got bigger and died.
Oh, I love that.
Yep.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, there we go. See, we're finding uses every which way from Sunday.
See, across two shows, we talked about virtually every card in the set, and every single one of them is playable. What were we talking about at the beginning of the show? 50 cards that'll find a home in a deck.
That's pretty cool.
You're not going to get that with Commander Masters, and you're going to pay way more for that than you are for Aftermath.
Unless you use CCO Summer promo code and get a 5% discount.
That's true, in which case you'll only be paying slightly more for Commander Masters. And Commander Masters, Ryan and Brando, they have all these cool showcase profile picture things that are going to come up of legendary creatures that we like. Well, Aftermath has you beat there too, sucka, because there are several very cool showcase treatments in this set. Something for everybody.
I wanted to ask you about that. Okay, so you opened up the old Collecti Boosty there.
Right.
And you got seven training grounds.
Yep.
And they had 15 different arts on them.
Yep.
Each card had like two different frickin' frames.
Yeah, how did that work? I got seven copies of the card, two different arts, three different foiling processes.
Whoa, processes.
Yes. How do you like that? I like it a lot.
Yeah, do you like that?
Yes.
Can even the one that's etched foil?
Not the one that's etched foil.
Not that one.
But the rest of them are fine.
Do you think that many, because like this is, We've joked about it, about the Teferi Time Mage, whenever that just had like the same art, but it was different in air quotes.
Right.
And we've joked about like having too many of the same card. Like this is the most extreme that we've seen.
Yes.
Because there's so few cards, there's so many repeating uncommons and rares, and there's four or five different iterations that you can get. Are we getting to the point where it's too much?
Maybe a little bit.
But why is it too much? They're making the same card different, thereby adding interest to the same card. If we're only looking at one copy of a card, let's say $100 foil training grounds.
Sure.
That's now 10. That's notwithstanding. You've got 5 training grounds is now that yep. all look different yeah. of your 7. So really, I can see why people would complain, because it's like, if I want to collect, but nobody collects.
Yeah.
So like, is this a big deal? Because now you have different ones that are all unique.
I think it's going over the top a little bit, just because there's so many different showcase treatments in this set, and it can be pretty jarring. Like, I had to look through the stuff I opened. I actually had to look through my stuff more than once to make sure whether or not I actually opened a card or not. Because I wasn't sure, because each card has so many different iterations.
All of them look so different, even from themselves.
Yeah.
Oh,
like you can
okay.
have, you can open, let's just say, Copper Coat Vanguard, because it's the first card in the thing, and it has my favorite extended art treatment on it. When you look at them next to each other, they're not the same.
No.
They are not the same. They look like different cards, even the way that they're worded, because on showcases and stuff, they take reminder text and flavor text off usually. So like, when you hold one in each hand, if you just kind of look back and forth, they look like different cards.
You know what's actually cool about that, though? It's the same lady being depicted in both, and she's got like that big bun in her hair.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
I think that's super. But I mean, there's lots of neat showcase treatments here. Whatever you like, it's here. You got the coins. You got the stained glass. You got kind of that Art Deco stuff from
yep.
Capenna. It's
yep.
all here, and it's all cool.
How about that deification, though, hey? That is a gorgeous piece of art.
Those are very neat. And the spark rupture. Look at the spark rupture. If you're watching on YouTube, Joe's going to have it on the screen. That is a beautiful card in foil. They are very nice.
That's a cool one. Shout out to Eli Minaya, the artist who did the extended art showcase spark rupture. That's a good one.
Also, favorite art in the set. My favorite art in the set. You think it's that one, but it's not. It's actually the showcase Urborg scavengers.
The showcase.
Like, look at those little funny guys. Like, it's fun. There's little funny dudes. And it looks like one of them has Elishnorn's head. And the other one's got, I think that's another piece of Elishnorn. And they're just so happy to have
one's
them,
got
right?
Elishnorn's head. One's got Elishnorn's dink.
Right? Like, it's funny. You know what I don't like is this Kalingan warmonger. What plane is that? Because I don't want that.
Kalingan Warmonger, that is from Tarkir.
Like, I don't want that.
See how it's got the dragon frame?
Okay.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody wants those cards. We had Black and White, the set, and it wasn't good. And
we had Sketch Cards, the showcase.
Also not good. And I don't like that.
I like the frame.
The frame is cool, but the black and white art, not a fan. You see one of those in etched foil? Very bad. Very bad.
You see one of those in etched foil? No, you don't.
No, neither have I, because you can't. And you got the old border here, too.
Yeah,
Laura is super happy to see those come back, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. She loves
that stuff.
Yeah, especially with the old foiling process that only the borders foil.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
fantastic.
Oh, that's sweet. You hear that sound? You hear that sound? That's people's pants getting tighter, because
yes.
it's so sexy.
The sound of pants tightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They even have a throwback to the butchered invocation frame that I like so much.
Oh, look at that.
From
Amonkhet. You got everything that you wanted,
right?
Hey?
Everything exists in this set. And I think that's the coolest part about it, is there is a little something for everybody art-wise. And while the set is small, and it's easy to get all the cards are all easy to get and very accessible at this point, including Nisa, let's be honest. Like, I didn't open one, but of course I didn't.
Mm.
Our LGS opened 3 or 4. Like, they're not hard to find.
Yeah.
They're very accessible and easy to get. But if you're a person like me that aggressively foils their decks, or you want the specific art in the specific treatment, then you got to go hunting, and you got to go to FusionGamingOnline.com, use special promo code CCOSLAM today, CCO Summer 2 days from now, to get 5% off those cards that you're going to want to buy anyway.
I got two things.
Tell me.
I got two opinions about the foil. I've seen some Halo foils now.
Yep.
Auntie Brando gave me a Halo foil Zata.
Neat.
I think. Or he gave me a foil one, and I got it. Anyway, I got this Halo foil Zata, and it looks really good.
Yeah.
And I got to do a shout-out to Scryfall. Gotta do shout out to Scryfall because they're using the washed out, terrible, can barely even see the picture arts for the etched foils.
Oh man, that's so good.
Right on the website.
And that is what they look like, or worse.
They're so terrible. Yeah, and just look at the Markov Baron. You can barely even see anything on the picture.
Yeah.
On the etched foil one. You can barely Arnie Metalbrow, you can barely see the art.
You barely even know that there's a picture there. It's the ley line immersion is just so washed
out. The cosmic rebirth? It's like what is that? There's like a squiggle.
And I have two of those that look exactly like that.
It's so terrible.
They're so dang bad.
When are they going to stop doing etched foil?
Never. I don't know who likes them. I don't know who it's for. I think somebody in Watsy's wife really likes them.
Didn't Pokemon do them, or weren't they in some other game and that, like the textured foil and the rainbow foil? What's it called? Cosmic foil?
That sounds like Yu-Gi-Oh, maybe?
Rainbow foil, I think, was a Pokemon thing.
Yeah, yes.
Where
right
they have
that.
The stars in the foiling process, like they did in Unfinity.
Infinity, yeah.
And that's cool. I like that. Those look good.
Hell yeah, they do.
And if you could put and the step and complete foil is kind of the same it's foil with additional foiling overlay on top.
Yeah, buddy.
All of that is so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And heaven forbid, maybe they'll even be flat one day. But as of now, if I'm getting a curled, washed out, etched foil that I can't even read, man, get out of here with those.
Just put it in the garbage immediately. They're very bad. I wish I had brought them. Last week when I thought we were going to do this episode, I actually brought some of my washed out uncommons I was going to show everybody.
Yeah.
But alas, I did not. So you're going to have to wait. You have to play with me in Edmonton, and then I'll show you them in real life because I actually did put them in my decks.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
So I'm going into it again real quick.
Okay.
Edmonton, June 16, 17, 18. There's potentially going to be a get-together on the Thursday night prior to the event where you can come, jam games, have some appetizers and drinks at the hotel. We've got a hotel discount for you. We've got a discount on your command package. Brando just saw.
We're scrolling down. Halo foil, washed out. Feast of the Victorious Dead. Please go look at the set spoiler on Scryfall right now before they change it. Oh,
fantastic.
I want to open one of those so bad.
I don't think they actually look that bad. I think they're just trying to depict the Halo foilness.
Oh, no, they do.
Oh, okay.
Those washed out cards do look that bad. That's the big complaint that I have about it, is they forgot to do quality control on some of the cards.
That's, and that's with all the foils, and that's with all the etched foils.
Yeah, they're all shit. These ones are just extra shit.
Command Fest Edmonton.
Yes.
You can bring them, trade them in, trade your cards into vendors. You get a discount on your command packages. Links to where to buy them are all over our social media, in our Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube.
Is it even on CommanderCookout.com?
Front and center, baby.
There
it'll
is.
Take you right to buying packages, and it says the promo code there. You get a discount. You get a special gift. Us there. Big thanks to the patrons who help make the episodes like this and bonus episodes and Tazri deck techs upcoming possible.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And, of course, big thanks to the patrons for tomorrow's bonus episode where we're doing a community spotlight of sorts.
We are doing that, yes.
So tune in. Big thanks to Business Daddies.
Big thanks to Business Daddies, FusionGamingOnline.com. That you can go there, use the codes like I mentioned before, save yourself 5% off all the stuff you're going to buy anyway, including all the playables from Aftermath. I really hope that they do this again in the same vein, maybe at a lower price point. I think that's the final thought of the day, is I think that this set got a bad rap, and lots of people think, oh, you don't get enough cards.
I got it.
Just look at it, and it's good.
I got it. $1 less for a booster pack, no etched foils.
Oh, yeah.
Solve the world's problems.
Yeah, and everybody's going to like that. Everybody's going to buy that, and everybody's going to think, man, I'm so glad that I opened this pack and there's not a single jank draft rare in it.
Yes.
It's so cool.
Yes.
Amazing. Speaking of amazing, we're going to be back with our very first community spotlight on a very special bonus episode of Commander Cookout Podcast. Hit our theme song!